Still, I'm still, you can hear my voice. Thursday night, I gave it my best, and I have suffered Friday with a tremendous sore throat, and because of that, and yesterday as well. And I'm looking for the Lord to heal me today. Amen. I come to the house of God expecting a healing.
Amen.
Amen. Before you ever got here, I've already believed God for his work. But more than a physical healing, more than just getting healed and touched, I want the glory of the Holy Ghost. How about you? Amen. Praise God. I appreciate this young man that's coming, his faith. And, amen, we're thankful that you're here as well. 11% his kidney was working the other day. Man, and very close to bypass, very close to dialysis. Dialysis would really do what he needs to do. But we've got a great God who is able to touch and do what only God can do. Amen. Would you lift your hands and pray and ask God to heal and do a mighty work of this young man? Lord, we thank you for provisions. We thank you for your goodness. God, do a work in him and through him today. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. I do not enjoy... Let me rephrase it better. Service is not the same on a Zoom. That's a good way to put it, and it's even worse when you're strapped to a hospital bed. First, I want to say thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity to come and deliver the Word of God. I don't take it lightly. My prayer today is that I can help somebody gain a deeper revelation of the things of God. That's really my thought today. So glad my wife is here. Amen. I wouldn't be who I am without her. That's for sure. I'm just thankful for God. God is good. When I think about what God has done for me, even before what's happened in the past week, it's just so much. God is a good God. He's a faithful God. And I know, Pastor, you've given, I'm going to testify a little bit. You've given a little bit of a foreshadowing of the medical problems. So to give it in a clearer sense, my kidneys are at 20% currently, which is better than what we thought they were going to be at when I got to the emergency room. So I praise God for that. But the thing about kidneys is it doesn't just increase and get better. Once you lose production in your kidneys, there's damage in your kidneys, it is not something that your body is just going to fix. Your kidneys are, once you lose and you have damage, it's gone. And so right now I'm around 80% damaged. And so there's the two options. It's, eat good. And, well, it's wonderful, you know, just eating vegetables. But the other option is, you know, dialysis and eventually transplant. And, you know, I'm not trying to just give up the kidneys and hop on to another set as soon as possible. I'm trying to linger it out because I feel in my spirit that God wants to use this for a witness. You know, God is showing these doctors, he's showing them what my kidneys are at right now, the function that they're at, what they're producing, and how well and how dangerous that it is in the state that it's at. And I'm suffering for that, yes. But in the end of it, I'm going to see a victory. And when God decides, okay, now is the time when he's going to reach in and he's going to pull it out and he's going to say, you are healed. When he speaks that, I'm healed. The victory. It'll be a testimony that these doctors are going to say, this is impossible. There's no way that kidney function comes back. That's what I've been told all my life, is that kidney function doesn't just come back. But when God steps in, anything is possible. Can we praise him right now? Hallelujah, Jesus. I love you, Lord. God, I thank you, Jesus. Lord, you are excellent, God. God, I trust in you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord, God. God, have your way, Lord, this morning, God. God, I thank you and I bless you, God. Thank you, Jesus, Lord, for your touch, God. Hallelujah. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Well, we're going to jump into scripture. We're going to go to Acts chapter 17. Verse 21, 23. I'm going to try and go through these so that way I can get y'all seated. Acts chapter 17, verses 21 through 23. Amen. And the scripture says, "For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, 'Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you.'" You may be seated. Hallelujah. In the Greek, the words, the unknown God, is the Greek word of agnostitos. And so this means the revelation of, or of just a God. It is not a specific God that these these Athenians are worshiping. They just know that there is a God out there that they don't know. So they have inscripted on this monument, the unknown God. But we need to understand that revelation is important because it shows us the information that leads us to our Creator. The world shows endless ways of how there is must be a Creator. There are multiple different components in the world that shows there had to be a designer to the creation of the universe, that there is perfection that is seamless throughout it. I mean, you look at the formation of the stars, and you look at how perfect the sun and the moon are set in place for the earth to have light in the day and at night, and we see how molecules are perfectly formed to have life. And you can't look at that and just say, well, that just happens. You had to see and understand that something designed it, something made that. This is a way that God has designed his creation to help us look for him. Amen. This is what we call a general revelation of God, that there is a creator, something that made everything, that is over it all. Amen. God has formed our world, and he formed the beginning, the beings that we are today. And Paul, in this passage, is explaining to a group of pagans that believe in multiple gods. They believe in Mars and Zeus and all these other Grecian gods. The people in Athens believe that there is a God that they don't even know about. They have seen the world, they have traveled, they have seen so many things, and they believe in all these other things that have a place in it that are incorrect, but they lack the understanding of an almighty God. And so they're seeing all these gods and they're caught in this confusion. They're caught in this unfulfillment in their true desire. Right. Their true desire to understand who created them. They have that lack of revelation of the unknown God. And what we see from the context of the chapter, that the people that he's teaching to, he first goes to the Jews. And I don't see in the scripture, Pastor, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't see him specifically preaching the gospel to the Jews in Athens here. I don't see him preaching the gospel, and I don't see a response to the gospel to the Jews. But when he goes into to the pagans, to the people that are worshiping on Mars Hill, we see a different stage. It says in the scripture that the Spirit of the Lord was stirred in him. That God said, okay, right here I want you to work. It would make sense for when you go to Christians, and when you go to other people, that it would make sense that, oh, this is who, they're going to really understand what I have to say. They're going to really understand Acts 2:30. They're going to really understand the one true God, because that's what they know. I mean, they're Christian. They know their Bible, and that's how Paul must have understood the situation when he first goes to the Jews. It would have been comfortable for him to be in that situation with the Jews and to preach the gospel, and they should have been able to get it. But instead, there's no mention of it in that scripture about him preaching to the Jews there, and there's no reaction to the gospel there. But we see, as we read further down, that the revelation comes when he goes outside of the synagogue onto Mars Hill. And Paul decides he's going to use what he knows. See, when we see people that know not God, they don't know the things of God, they have no idea. You can quote scripture, but it's just not going to connect with them. You have to bring it down to their level. You have to connect it in a way that they can get it. And so what he does is he sees these people right here, they're not going to understand if I quote Deuteronomy. They're not going to understand if I quote Leviticus like I would if I was with the Jews. But instead, I'm going to see something that they can understand. They have a monument of a God, and I know exactly who that God is. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." So the first thing that I've noticed after Paul arrives on the scene is that there is a hunger in the people. They first are saying, "Whoa, who is that? Who are you speaking of? You're speaking of this doctrine. You're speaking of this religion that we don't even know about. Is it? And it's strange to us," is what the scripture says. It's a strange teaching for them because they don't understand what he's teaching. So he uses the opportunity here to say, "Hey, this unknown God, I know who he is." And if we read further down, we can see how Paul explains it to them in verse 24. It says, "God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with man's hands, as though he need anything. Seeing he giveth to all life and breatheth in all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined that times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation." Paul was revealing who God is to them, the creator. And before we can preach Acts 2:38, before we can get into the scripture, we need to explain who God is. Who? We had to lay that foundation of the Creator. There is a God. Before I do a Bible study, before I try and convince somebody to accept the one true God and to be baptized in Jesus' name, I want to lay a foundation that, for one, that there is a God, and then we need to come to the conclusion that this book is true. But first, we need to understand that there is a God. If we don't have the understanding of that there is a God, then we can't even get into the book. So we have to lay that foundation that there is one God. Amen. We have to also teach people how to interact with God. Paul continues to show how people are to interact with God. It says in verse 27 and 28, "That they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring." We first have to seek the presence of God. Paul is explaining that you have never met the Almighty God. He is full of grace and truth, and if you seek after him, you will experience an encounter with him. God will meet you where you are at. He is looking for those that have, he's not looking for those who have figured out all the theology. He's not looking for those who have it all together. He is looking to meet those who want him, He's looking for those who have a desire for him. It's not about how much knowledge that you have. It's about your want for him. When you desire him, you are going to gain the revelation of him. When you desire him, he's going to come to you and he's going to show you things that you don't see right now. I'm gonna step into some testimony right now. When I was still in the world, I would consider myself agnostic. I knew that there was a God, but I didn't understand who he was. And so what God had to do was he had to bring somebody along to me and show me who God was. Somebody that came to me and told me what God has done for them. He told me the stories of one day he was at home. And his body just went numb, and he felt like he was paralyzed, and he knew that there was a spirit upon him. So what him and his family did was they prayed in the name of Jesus, and the spirit left him. And when he told me that, I was in surprise. I thought that God was a great God, but I didn't know God as a personal God. And so we had to bridge that gap of, yes, there is a creator. But more than just a great creator, he is a personal God who wants to see where you're at. He wants to be with you. Amen. Amen. The Bible talks about how we're not supposed to worship other gods. And just as important, we're not to make any graven images. Idols in the Old Testament were images of God or gods that they represented. They are of stone, wood, gold, and whatever material that the people would have. God does not want us to have idols because, for one, there's only one true God, and the other is we are his idol. An idol is a reflection or the representation of that God. We are his creation. We are his image. Whenever we see people trying to make an image of God, it is not who God is, because God is not a stone. God is not wood. God is not gold. God is alive. He is moving, he is breathing, and he speaks. And that's why the people of God are his image. Amen. Paul continues his sermon and explains the resurrection of Jesus. At this point, the people are beginning to mock him. They're full of unbelief, walking in their own understanding. But friend, we can't rely on how we were raised. We can't rely on what we know. But the Bible says that we're to become a new creature. That the person that we are, we are not to control ourselves, but we're supposed to give control to Jesus. And verse 34 gives the cherry on top of it. It says, "How be it, certain men clave unto him and believe, among the which was Dionysus, the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them." And this man, Dionysus, he wasn't just a pagan, but he was considered a member of the Mars Hill. He was a person that was devout in his religious duties to the other gods. He wasn't just coming to be there, but he wanted to be involved in the pagan activity. If we saw Dionysus today, we would probably think, well, that guy, he'll never come to church. I mean, he's just too far gone. There's no way he's coming. He doesn't want it. But instead, we see that he does. He decides that he's going to leave everything that he knows. He knows the way of a pagan, but he sees the truth of God. There is a revelation that has come to him that has helped him to understand what he needs to do, that he needs to trust in one God, not all these gods that he's known his entire life. But he decides, I'm going to trust in God, because God is true. God is love. God is everything that I need. Amen. the truth that God is precious. We cannot take it for granted. We can't be careless with this treasure that God has given us. There is something about the truth that is revealed to us that requires a response. We think of revelation and we think of faith and we think we just need to believe, but the Bible doesn't say that we just believe, but it requires the response of our belief. We see application to this with people like Noah. When his evidence is shown of his reaction to his faith in revelation with the building of an ark, we see the reaction of understanding and revelation with his faith with Abraham when he obeys the voice of God. He goes away from what he knows and he goes into a land that is unknown, and through that God blesses him, and he even is tested time and time again. But it's through his faith and through the evidence of his faith that we see that he believes. Ultimately, we have to make the decision if we want to hear from God, and then we need to submit to the will of God. So many people wrestle with the idea of what is the will of God in my life. And I can't tell you specifically what God wants for you, what the will of God is for you specifically. But what I can tell you is what it's not. See, God doesn't expect you to be lost. That is not the will of God. It's not the will of God for you to feel forgotten. It's not the will of God for you to feel forsaken. It's not the will of God for you to feel void. It's not the will of God for you to be confused. So that tells me that God seeks which is lost. It doesn't matter if you're a prodigal son. It doesn't matter if you're the lost coin in the house. It doesn't matter if you're a stranger that is just in a foreign land. God wants you to know that he still remembers your prayers when you cry out at night. God sees you in the struggle. He is still by your side. Your God still fights for you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, it's been a hard week. I'll put it that way. Because when you're 28 and you're freshly married, I'm just going to be transparent right now. When you're 28 and you're freshly married, and you see how your life is, it's just fecal, and you see how you're everything seems to be slipping away. And the next thing you know, you see that, I haven't even counted at all, but as far as I've been able to see, I've lost about $1,500 just from the surface level of finances. And it's hard being the man and understanding that it's my job to be financially stable, being there to support. And it can drag you down. It can take you to a place where you don't want to go. It can take you into depression. But what I do know is through revelation of God, through his word, through the Spirit of the living God, God has been able to give me victory. And it doesn't matter what happens to me, because this isn't my show. This isn't what, I'm not what it's all about. It's not about what I want. It doesn't matter what I want. But it's about him. I want to be a willing vessel. One that he can use. Jesus. I can't hold back. I talked to Pastor about this on the way to the hospital. I said, times like this aren't something that push away my faith, but it draws me closer because, okay, I believe that God can heal. I really do believe that God wants to heal, but if he doesn't, that's okay. But you know what that's going to do? That's going to push me further, because that means I only got a little bit of time left. And like we say, It's, we only got a few more hours, a few more days, and I want to make the best that I can out of that. But I can't share this gospel to anybody unless I have a revelation of who he is. I can't have a revelation of who he is unless I'm in his word and when I spend time with him. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. It's by the Spirit of the living God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. I want to draw closer to him every day. Hallelujah. We need him. We need him. This, the money, it's scary. It really is scary, but I know that I serve a God who is able to supply my needs. Amen. I trust in him. He's my savior. He's the one who carries me through every struggle. It doesn't matter how big the problem is. I know that my God is going to carry me through this struggle. Hallelujah. And I know that there's people in this room that are also battling. I don't know every single situation that you're fighting through, but I know that God is able to take you out of that storm. He's able to take you through it. You just got to trust in him. Come on, somebody. Is it tough? Is it easy? No, it's not easy. But through God, all things are possible. Hallelujah. You need to trust in God. Hallelujah. You need to lean on him. Oh, hallelujah. I wonder if somebody could lift up their hands right now. Hallelujah. I wonder if you could trust in him right now. Hallelujah. Jesus, Lord, you are excellent, God. We trust you, God. Hallelujah. I'm done if the music can come. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, Lord, you're wonderful, God. Hallelujah. Oh, it's not by our power. It's not by our might. It's not by our knowledge, but it's by the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, God. God, help me, Lord. God, I have a deeper revelation of you, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. 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 If I really believe this book like how it says, I would treat every day like it was my last, and I would treat it every day like it was my friend's last. Because he's coming. And whether he's coming for us all or if he's just coming for one, we got to be ready. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, yes. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus.
I can trust Jesus. Jesus, he's been a friend who's there in time of need. He is my strong tower, the strength in my weakest time. For he takes care of me. I can trust Jesus. I can trust Jesus. He's been a.
Let's give God some attention this morning. Come on, he's a God that does not fail. The unknown God is here today. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you. Hallelujah. Come on, would you just lift your hands to the Lord right now and trust him? You're here for me to strengthen me, Lord. In weariness and weakness, I trust you, Lord, for you are faithful. Come on, the Lord is here today to honor your faith, to honor your trust to him. I trust in you, Lord, today.
I can trust Jesus.
I can. I can.
I can trust.
I can.
Jesus.
Come on, I can. You can.
He's been a friend.
He's faithful. Come on, look at his record. He's a God that made the world and all things that dwell therein. Hallelujah. Strong tower.
He is my strong tower. The strength in my weakest time. I can trust Jesus, for he takes care of me. I can trust Jesus. I can trust Jesus. He's been a friend who's there in time of need.
Come on, you've been there before.
He is my strong.
Come on, have you been there before?
The strength in my weakness.